Good evening. Welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program tonight, as lakhs of Marathas congregate in South Mumbai today, demanding reservations, we look at this demand. Does it fuel a genuine aspiration based on the economic vulnerability of a particular community, or is it in fact a political quagmire for the party in power, whichever party that may be, whichever year that may be, given the political strength of the Marathas? That's our big focus this evening. And later on the program, India at 70. Ahead of Independence Day, we start our special series. Tonight, Adi Godrej joins us as we look at the biggest challenges facing India. But first, our top story. Mumbai brought to a standstill as close to 9 lakh Marathas from across the state marched to the Azad Maidan in the heart of the city, demanding quotas in government jobs and colleges. In South Mumbai, schools and colleges were forced to shut down, and an entire 5-kilometer stretch was cordoned off for the mega march.
Lakhs of Marathas came from all over the state, almost bringing South Mumbai to a standstill.
Our parents khud hi kheti karte, isliye hum woh bol paye. Mujhe bhi admission nahi mil raha, isliye main arakshan pe upar bol paye.
The march, which went off peacefully, forced an immediate response from the Chief Minister. While he announced Maratha students could be eligible for scholarships, so far kept only for OBC students, he also promised to push through job quotas through the court.
सरकारने देखील स्पष्ट केलं की आरक्षणाकरता राज्य सरकार पूर्णपणे त्या ठिकाणी पॉझिटिव्ह आहे. मागासवर्गीय आयोगाला ही विनंती करण्यात येईल.
But that was not enough.
हमने लिख के मांगा था उनको, हमको लिख के दे दो, लेकिन उन्होंने कोई लिख के नहीं दिया.
This protest is not good news for the Chief Minister. They began a year ago with the rape and murder of a Maratha girl.
अंदर का आवाज था जो हमें हमें बहुत दर्द हो रहा था. आज वो श्रद्धा दीदी थी, उसके सिवाय दूसरे और कोई भी हो सकती है.
Although they are demanding backward status, Marathas have been a dominant caste. A third of all the voters are Marathas. All chief ministers have been Marathas except 3 Brahmins, including Devendra Fadnavis. The last Brahmin chief minister in the mid-90s was replaced by a Maratha.
The Maratha Kranti Morcha is a silent rally, silent march, which is why you will not hear slogans. But just look at the crowd. The crowd, of course, extends right here from JJ Flyover all the way up to and beyond Baikala Zoo, which is, of course, more than 3 kilometers.
The protest kept politicians at bay, even though the Shiv Sena and the Congress support the Maratha Kranti Morcha, which organized the protest. Both parties were kept away from the stage.
The Maratha community and their demands resonate across the political spectrum in Maharashtra, and their sheer strength in numbers cannot be ignored by any ruling party, which is why if their demands are not met, these large crowds could return to Mumbai or perhaps even head to Delhi. In Mumbai, with Anand Zanane, Saurabh Gupta, NDTV.
So are there legitimate demands over here for the massive Maratha community in Maharashtra? Or is this really a part of a trend where we see different communities in several states make these demands for reservations? Joining us now to debate this, Arvind Sawant, the spokesperson of the Shiv Sena, Rajiv Pandey of the BJP, Balasab Sarate, the author and representative of Maratha Manch, Bharat Kumar Raut and Kumar Ketkar, senior journalists. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. Mr. Pandey, let me come to you first. The numbers are astounding. Rarely in India do we see numbers as big as this. But beyond paying lip service to the cause of reservations for the Maratha community, can you realistically do anything, given the fact that if you do, then you'll go above the maximum amount that reservations are allowed in any state?
As far as the BJP is concerned, BJP has taken a stand that we are committed to the reservation to Marathas. And we are the person who have given, who have made law when the Congress NCP government enacted an ordinance. When we came into the power, we converted into the law. And thereafter, now the matter is before the Honorable High Court. OBC Commission also, it is referred, the High Court has referred to the OBC Commission, and we have given all information that why Maratha should be given reservation under the OBC quota. As far as the other parties are concerned, when they lost election in 2014, they formed a commission called Narayan Rane Commission, and without applying mind, they passed an ordinance. They were in the government for last 15 years. First, they constituted a commission called Bapat Commission, and as per their commission, they said there is no need to give reservation to the
No, but it's
Maratha.
Not just that. There is a PIL which is also, Mr. Pandey, one moment, there has also been a PIL in the court where the High Court, the Bombay High Court, said that the total number of reservations in the state would go up to 73%, exceeding the limit set up by the Supreme Court. So what you are doing is essentially cherry-picking examples. There are other examples as well where, for example, the Bapat report had rejected granting them additional reservations. So it's back and forth. There are some cases where, yes, reports have suggested that there should be more reservations, but the High Court has said that you're exceeding the limit set by the Supreme Court.
That's what I'm saying. The earlier government, they just did the lip service.
Aren't you bound to do the same lip service? Now what we are doing, I'm just making my point. Yes.
Even if it crosses 50%, in Tamil Nadu, the reservation is more than 50%. So we are committed to give reservation to the Maratha community, even if it crosses 50%.
How do you intend to do that if the Supreme Court has said? Anyway, so it's going to be an argument. Okay. One second. Let me go across to Arvind Sawant, a spokesperson of the Shiv Sena. Maratha pride, Mr. Sawant, has been essential to the politics of the Shiv Sena. It's your core identity. But in this particular scenario, there are many who would argue that reservations need to be given on the basis of a particular necessity. If you look at the Maratha community in Maharashtra, they have a higher level of incomes and lower poverty relative to others, with the exception of Brahmin households. Therefore, how do you argue that it is justifiable?
First thing, it is justifiable because they are deprived of a legitimate rights. Do not compare handful of Marathas with all the poor Marathas in Maharashtra.
Okay.
The farmers, 99% farmers belong to the Maratha community. And they are very poor. Their land holding is below 5 acres. And they are facing droughts and so many calamities of the nature. And therefore, just for the sake of caste, they are deprived of a legitimate right of an education or a job. As far as Shiv Sena is concerned, let it be very clear from my side. Shiv Sena doesn't believe in casteism at all. But then, because of Mandal Commission, all these casteism walls have been erected now. And after Mandal Commission, if a majority of a community, just because of the caste, they are deprived of a legitimate right to have an education or some reservation in education or some reservation in jobs, it is bound to get, and therefore Shiv Sena has got another stand also. Injustice cannot be bared.
Okay.
So we do not tolerate injustice, and there is an injustice with this community for a long time. And
okay.
Their rally, silent rally, we supported that rally for that. Their demand.
Bala Sahib Sarate, let me ask you this, sir. Mr. Sawant making the point that, look, you know, when you look at the Maratha community, then you need to understand there are elements, and very large elements within the Maratha community, large sections, which have been deprived socioeconomically, and therefore this demand is legitimate. However, there is the opposite argument also, that the topmost strata among the Marathas, the Gadi Varcha, forgive my pronunciation, run educational institutions, factories and politics. There's the Vadya Varcha, transporters, huge owners of land, contracting firms, and then there is the Vadi Varcha, who are small farmers who actually require perhaps reservations. How do you discriminate between these groups? Why should rich members of the Maratha community get reservations potentially?
Actually, we should understand the reality of criteria of reservation.
Let Mr. Sarate make his point. Go ahead, sir.
If we look to the economic survey of Maharashtra 2015 and 16, and all the economic surveys of Maharashtra, the 60% income of Maharashtra comes from 5 cities only: Nagpur, Nasik, Mumbai, Thane, and Pune. And in those cities, Maratha is not at all dominant. Maratha has no existence in those cities. How could you decide that Maratha is economically dominant? If you say that Maratha has the factories and educational institutions, how the educational institutions are run? They are run by the government acts and government regulations.
But isn't it also true, sir, that 32% of Marathas own in excess of 75% of land in the state?
No, no, not at all. In Maharashtra, there is no land census actually. There is one book written by Gail Amwet.
Okay.
The cultural revolt in colonial society, Gail Amwet has given the data which community has the land holding more. She has given the data and it is proved that Maratha community is not that landlord. And there is no land census in Maharashtra. How much land Maratha own, it is not also given in any detailed survey. Actually, these are the blames on Maratha community, okay, that Maratha community is not socially and educationally backward. But Maratha community is the only community in Maharashtra which is checked in that sense that Maratha community is socially, educationally and economically backward. And the prior government, Congress government had said it. Repeatedly, the BJP government has also said the same thing, that Maratha community is socially, educationally,
okay,
and economically
backward.
All right,
I want to go across to Bharat Kumar Raut. Mr. Raut, you know, some people would argue that this is part of a national trend. We've seen the Patidar community in Gujarat. We've seen the Jat community in Haryana, parts of Rajasthan as well. And now, of course, the Maratha community, which has started this from 1997 onwards. But if you look at Marathas, Jats and Patels, there is a sense that economic conditions among these communities in many instances are better than many peer communities. And therefore, the demand for reservations may not necessarily be justified. Is this part of a larger nationwide problem? Who deserves reservations?
And now let me first confess that personally, I don't believe in caste-based reservations because as Indians, we should be heading towards classless and casteless society. And if you continue to give caste-based reservations, in my opinion, aim will never be fulfilled. Okay. Having said that, let me also say that if all communities have to be on equal ground, then they should also start on a level field. And in that case, some communities in the nation do need require hand-holding for at least some time. Here in Maratha, our misgiving is that like Patels, like Jats, like other Kamina community or like Marathas in Maharashtra, we are misgiving that they are the ruling community, they are sugar barons, they are having many educational institutions, they are sugarcane growers, and therefore they are rich and wealthy. But let me say that this community, which is wealthy and rich and forward, that is not even 1% of the total population of Marathas.
Okay.
In that case, the rest of the population of Maratha is as backward, as poor as any other backward community in Maharashtra. At least I say this with all responsibility. It is unjust to say that entire Maratha community is having better living than the other OBCs or other backward communities.
Okay.
Those who are having, you said, 32%, that wealth and that land holding belongs to hardly
a minority, an absolute
Maratha.
Distinct minority. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. I accept the fact that some of these numbers and data are cherry picked. But there are various arguments and different arguments, and those who argue those points present data which sort of suits their arguments. And let me therefore bring out another statistic over here. Kumar Ketkar, let me bring it to you. If you look at the overall scenario as far as reservation is concerned, reservations have always, and correctly so perhaps, been linked not just with the status of caste, but with the economic and certainly the socio-economic benefits that it potentially brings to particular castes. But if you look at economic growth in our country and the decline in poverty numbers from 37% at one stage, it stands now at 22%. So one could therefore argue that the numbers allotted for reservation need to also come down. But can that ever happen? Because the demands for reservation only seem to be going one way, up.
Well, actually, it is not very difficult to understand because essentially it is a political question and also economic question in the sense that most of these Marathas, which is 34% of the Maharashtra's population, which is almost equal to 4 crores, or you can say equal to the population of whole of California, that is the population of Marathas alone in Maharashtra, and most of them are agricultural communities. Majority of them are agriculturists. And agriculture is in deep crisis. You will notice that the Maratha demand for reservation started along with the growing agricultural crisis. It was not there in 89, though Mandal came in 89. It was not there prominently in 95 when Mandal was officially accepted by a majority of the country's parties. It started much later because the agricultural crisis deepened. Now, many of the farmers who have committed suicide, you will not find any farmers committing suicide prior to 1985 or prior to 1990. There were some. But the farmers' suicide as a point, as a crisis, began only after 1990s, partly you can say only after globalization, when the resources began to go towards industry and towards cities. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean globalization is at fault. But the point is agricultural crisis, which is an economic crisis, actually deepened the community's demand that we are being sidelined. And so, essentially, as you see, many of the speeches today in the Morcha were saying that the debt should not be there, Swaminathan Committee report should be implemented, and so on and so forth. So, essentially, there are agricultural demands. On the other hand, there are cultural demands. Cultural demands include punishment to those who commit atrocities against Marathas.
Yes.
And the political demands include the reservation. So, it is political, economic, and cultural question. 34% of the people, which is 4 crores, as I said, equal to the whole California population, cannot be sidelined because in each party, the dominant caste is Maratha, irrespective of which party it is. One may be Hindutva party, another may be secular party,
and I think
maybe Dalit party,
you strike
but all parties have essentially the core issue over here.
And the core issue over here is the numbers of the community concerned. It's massive. Which government can afford to give reservation for this huge number? It's a huge issue. And as you correctly mentioned, it transcends the political, social, and cultural space in Maharashtra.
In that respect,
and clearly there are no clear signs. And of course, there is that entire Supreme Court judgment as well, which puts the restriction. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us this evening. One way or the other, what we saw in Mumbai today, the numbers were staggering, almost 9 lakh people in a part of South Mumbai protesting for reservation members of the Maratha community.